let's start with this past Monday when the Pope was in Castel Gandolfo to recover from all of the ceremonies, basically.
Sure, everyone is familiar with all the liturgies of Holy Week. And if you aren't familiar with it by now from images, you will never know that the biggest story of the week right up there with the Holy Week liturgies was the weather. We have had the most awful, consistently awful, day after day awful weather. Even as we're talking, it's not raining yet, but the clouds are there and threatening and everything else. So,
and it's been that way for at least 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, it's amazing even the Pope went to Castel Gandolfo. It's not amazing he went. I just supposedly he went by helicopter, and he must have gone in between the two deluges of Easter Sunday, because the 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock deluge was incredible, and then it began again about 4 o'clock. So he did go to Castel Gandolfo. He's resting there. He's coming to Rome on Divine Mercy Sunday. There's really only been two events of the past week as far as the Holy Father's concerned, which is good. I mean, he's got a huge schedule ahead of him for his trip to the United States. He's going to be writing talks on that. Obviously, we know he's preparing another social encyclical. But Monday, he did recite the Regina Caeli prayer. Now, for people not familiar with that, you should be, because it is the Easter time version, so up to Pentecost, of the Angelus prayer. So it is recited at noon, and in coming Sundays, the Holy Father will be reciting the Regina Caeli. And on the Regina Caeli, he talked about Holy Week. He talked about the fact that at the Marian prayer, we now recite the Hallelujah. And he said that springs from the heart of this entire season. The Hallelujah is like a new annunciation to Mary, but it's not made by an angel. I loved this. He said it's made by Christians who invite the mother to rejoice because her son, whom she bore in her womb, has risen as he had promised. So remarks at the Monday Regina Caeli, and the other papal event of the week, of course, was the Wednesday audience. He came to Rome by helicopter for that and went back to Castel Gandolfo afterwards. And it was a wonderful audience. It was, as it is traditionally, the audience after Easter Sunday is dedicated to the Easter season, to the resurrection, the fact that, and the Pope stressed this so much, there are unbelievers out there or even deniers, but this event did happen. And he wanted to say that Christ's resurrection was ours in the sense of he came to redeem us and assure us of our life everlasting, and hopefully certainly with him in heaven. And the Pope said the weakening of faith in the resurrection of Jesus consequently weakens the testimony of believers. And that's just so very logical. If you don't believe in something, how are you going to be a wonderful spokesperson for it? So a lot of sense in that. He said if the faith in the resurrection fails within the church, everything else will stop. Everything will come apart. But conversely, the adhesion of the heart and mind to Christ who died and arose changes the life and enlightens the whole existence of people and populations. So he said, that's why, for this reason, for the words he just said, it is important to repeat this fundamental truth of our faith, whose historical truthfulness is widely documented, even if nowadays, as in the past, there are always some who somehow question or even deny this. So he said we must constantly renew our adherence, our adhesion to Christ who died and rose for us. His Easter is our Easter. And, you know, even though it's a quiet week, been a quiet week at the Vatican with the Pope at Castel Gandolfo, Divine Mercy Sunday is, of course, the very first Sunday after Easter. And shortly after Divine Mercy Sunday, in fact, from April 2nd to 6th, there's going to be a World Apostolic Congress on Divine Mercy here in Rome.
That's going to be here in Rome. Mm-hmm.
They're expecting 10,000 people, and that's at least what the organizers, the indications they've been given so far.
That's
many cardinals.
Amount.
Oh, yeah. Many cardinals, many bishops, many lay people, priests, and so forth from all over the world. The interesting day is the first day of the Congress is Wednesday, April 2nd, which also is the third anniversary of the death of Pope John Paul, who died on that day in 2005. And Pope Benedict, of course, will be presiding at Mass in St. Peter's Square. There won't be a general audience, but there will be Mass in St. Peter's Square. And what must be pointed out to anyone who may have forgotten this little fact, John Paul died on a Saturday. It was the vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday.
Well, let's take a moment to remind our listeners what is exactly Divine Mercy Sunday. On the 23rd of May in the year 2000, the Congregation for Divine Worship proclaimed that throughout the world, the second Sunday of Easter will receive the name Divine Mercy Sunday.
Okay? It's the first Sunday after Easter, but it's the second Sunday of Easter time, because Easter
right.
time goes from Easter Sunday, of course, to Pentecost.
That's right. And it was decided together with the canonization of Sister Faustina Kowalska.
Sister Faustina, the heart and soul of this movement towards world recognition of yes. divine mercy.
That's right. So that important date was the 30th of April in the year 2000 when Pope John Paul canonized Sister Faustina, who, of course, was Polish and from his very own city of Krakow.
Well, you know, and he actually had a huge role, even before he became Pope, in seeing that this Divine Mercy Sunday, or anyway, recognition of Divine Mercy came into being. But just for a minute to go back to Sister Faustina, she was born Helena Kowalska, and she was the third of 10 children. Now, when she was almost 20, she entered the Congregation of the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy.
Now, we're talking in the end of the 1930s.
She was born in 1905. Yes, exactly. So when she was almost 20, which would be 1925, mm-hmm. right, she entered the Congregation. And when she received her religious habit, she was given the name Sister Maria Faustina, to which she added of the Blessed Sacrament as was permitted by her congregation's custom. Now, in the 1930s, I think it was 1931, she received a message from the Lord, a message of mercy that she was told to spread throughout the world. And she was asked to become the apostle, if you will, and secretary of God's mercy, a model of how to be merciful to others, and an instrument for re-emphasizing God's plan of mercy for the world. And, of course, we know now, because you just mentioned, she is a saint. She's recognized throughout the world. And her diary, Divine Mercy in My Soul, has become a handbook, really, for devotion to Divine Mercy. Now, interestingly enough, the image that we have of Christ for Divine Mercy is the image she saw of him, which was she is looking at him. His right hand is raised. His left hand is pointing to his heart, is over his heart, and then rays, the predominant color being red for blood, are coming out of his heart. So he shed his, he gave his life for us and in his mercy to and love to redeem us. When you see an image of like that, Christ standing, his one hand upright, the other near his heart, and the images almost of the rays of sun, if you will, coming from that heart, that is the Jesus of Divine Mercy. How this has been propagated is absolutely amazing. Of course, we have different chapters around the world. You have the Divine Mercy chapter of, and then different countries and different states and areas within a country. And we have the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy, which is the rosary with very specific prayers that she got from our Lord to say with the rosary. And then there's a prayer, a very brief one. It's called the 3 o'clock hour prayer, Divine Mercy prayer. 3 being, of course, the time at which our Lord would have died after 3 hours on the cross.
And this is something that Catholics can or Christians can practice every day of the year at 3 o'clock to remember Christ's passion, to say a few words of prayer for poor sinners around the world, for world peace.
And trying, as Christ did, to show mercy, because mm-hmm. that's the whole object of this message. And the prayer is actually very brief. This is what he dictated to Maria Faustina. At 3 o'clock, implore my mercy, especially for sinners. And if only for a brief moment, immerse yourself in my passion, particularly my abandonment at the moment of agony. This is the hour of great mercy for the whole world. I will allow you to enter into my mortal sorrow. In this hour, I will refuse nothing to the soul that makes a request of me in virtue of my passion. But the very interesting thing was when Faustina in 1935 wrote her spiritual director, she said, the time will come when this work which God so commends will be as though in complete ruin. And suddenly the action of God will come upon the scene with real power, which will bear witness to the truth. It will be a new splendor for the church, though for some time it had been dormant. And what happened was this. Her words actually came to pass. In March of 1959, the Holy See, acting, it seems, on information that was inaccurately presented, prohibited the spreading of images and writings advocating devotion to divine mercy in the form proposed by Sister Faustina. And as a result, there was silence for almost 20 years. Then you have April 1978, the Holy See, after a thorough examination of documents previously unavailable to it, completely reversed its decision and permitted the devotion. And interestingly enough, but I suppose no surprise, the one man principally responsible, guess who, for the reversal was Karol Wojtyła, the Archbishop of Sister Faustina's home diocese. And several months later, of course, he would become John Paul II.
But, you know, one very important thing that I don't think we mentioned yet was that you can receive plenary indulgences by going to the Divine Mercy Mass on Sunday.
Now, you have some information on this indulgence, I think.
Well, exactly. No, in fact, apparently in her diaries, St. Faustina wrote that Jesus had told her, "I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy, especially on this day, this Sunday of Divine Mercy." And he said, "The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which grace flow are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet." So, quite impressive.
How could we possibly ignore that? And this falls within the season, too. The Divine Mercy Novena begins on Good Friday. And then, of course, ends on Divine Mercy Sunday. And there are very specific prayers of mercy for the souls that have left the church, for the souls of babies, for all different categories of believers, unbelievers, fallen away people, and so forth. So there are 9 days in which the Lord does talk about the ocean of mercy. And we're going to hear a lot more right here at this radio, and you'll be reading about it in the papers, too, about the Divine Mercy Congress. So we'll
meet again next week and talk about it. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit more about what will have happened then.
And obviously the big story next week will also be the remembrance, the marking of the third anniversary of the death of
Pope John Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, well, thanks very much, Joan, for being with us again, and I look forward to talk to you again next week.
See you then.